Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Dobrý večer and welcome to the Bohemian Podcast with Pete Coleman and Travis Dow.
Good evening from Prague. I'm Pete Coleman.
And I'm Travis Dow.
On this evening's Destination Special on Bohemian Podcast, we focus on the beautiful town of Český Krumlov, one of the jewels of Southern Czech Republic. This town in southern Bohemia is also on the UNESCO World Heritage Site, and it's on the road from Český Budovice all the way to Austria. And I had the pleasure of actually going down there last year and had a great time in this beautiful, beautiful ancient town. It is one of the more premier spots in the Czech Republic, right behind Prague, as far as a destination for many tourists, Travis.
It's so close to Austria that I'll tell you the German name for the town, which is Krumau an der Moldau, or Böhmisch Krumau. And that's where I get its name from, because Krumau is like a crooked bend. And if you ever go there, I mean, you'll see where it gets that name. I'll mention that in English it's called Krumlov, which I've never ever heard. So I think we don't really use that. But so the reason it's called Crooked Bend is to kind of paint you a picture. It's just this fairy tale kind of medieval village, but there's a sharp bend in the Vltava, and it's so sharp that it basically goes almost all the way around. And then there's a tiny strip of land that goes into the bend, there's a canal. So in a way, it's like a complete circle of the river, like a moat almost.
It is. When you say fairy tale, I mean, it really goes right to that. There's so much to do in this small town. It is amazing. It's a very picturesque place, and there's so many things that you can do. You can actually get onto the Vltava River on these rafts, canoes, and tour boats if you want to do that.
Yep.
And bicycling is welcome there in the town. It's a pedestrian-friendly city, so there's hardly any vehicles that are allowed in the area. But that just means that there's a lot more parking that you have to deal with on the outskirts of the town. So when we talk about getting down there, as far as the destination information that you'll need, just remember, if you're heading in from Prague, it's about a three-hour drive heading down, stopping along Pisek and then Český Budovice before you get down there. It's very close to Austria. And if you do drive, there are about three parking lot areas, A, B, and C, that surround the bend of the River of Vltava that Travis talked about. They get filled up pretty quickly, so you really have to kind of manage your time. What I would advise, take a train or you can take a bus. And either way is a great way to do this so that you don't have to worry about the parking. And once you get off, you just start walking the town. It's full of cobblestones and little hills. And a beautiful castle that is actually much bigger than you would think would belong for such a small town.
Well, yeah, because so you got this little tiny circle, and it's all cobblestones, like you say, all these old arches, and then the bank on the other side of the river just shoots straight up into a cliff, and then kind of perched on this cliff, really like a fairy tale. I mean, it's just crazy. Like from any part of the city, you can see the castle kind of nested on top of that mountain there, and it's just kind of overlooking the whole thing.
It's got an oriental motif actually to it for a specific reason towards this tower and parts of the castle as well. So it adds a splash of color in this very lush green valley that's part of Český Krumlov. One of the places and destinations that I think you have to go to if you're in Bohemia, you have to make this trip. It is absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
But it is drenched with history, just like Prague.
Oh, well, yeah, I would say if you go to one place in Bohemia, come to Prague. If you go to two, this is it.
The history of Český Krumlov, you have to kind of surround yourself by several ruling families, and the first one would be the Rosenbergs. The Rosenbergs, the House of Rosenberg is known for their five-petaled rose flower that you might see on numerous things, of course, through Český Krumlov, but also here in Prague. They owned a great deal of the land. They were very close friends with the Emperor Rudolf II. They really shared court with many rulers throughout the generations because they had the money, they had the influence, and they also had the land. So they ruled from a good part of the time in the 13th century when the castle was built on the prefaces of this Vltava Bend. It is right there on top of a small hill. And when you do visit the castle, you're going to see different generations of what different families had added mm-hmm. to the castle. So we have the House of Rosenberg, we have the House of Edinburgh, we also have the House of Schwarzenberg, all very wealthy, wealthy families.
And Rudolf II bought it at one point, which I think we find a way in every podcast to sneak his name in.
We do. He's very influential here, absolutely.
Yeah, but he bought it from the Rosenbergs and gave it to his son. You had a story about the Rosenbergs. Was it kind of a ghost story, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, that would be the White Lady of Český Krumlov, and it's a very interesting tale that's actually on the Bohemian.com website. If you get a chance to go to that under the Legends tab, you will see her. She actually leads that page of our Czech legends. It's kind of a sad tale. Now, depending on where you go in Czech Republic, you're going to have probably about five or six legends of the White Lady.
Uh-huh.
It's not uncommon to have a woman dressed in white to be basically haunting a castle or an area because of an untimely demise. But this one has a lot of connection to maybe some historical fact. Her name was Perchta von Rosenberg, and she had lived a very difficult life following her arranged marriage to Jan von Lichtenstein, thus joining two very powerful families at the time. Now, Jan von Lichtenstein was a widower, and when Pechtard moved to the Lichtenstein castle, she was harassed daily by her mother and sister-in-law. This was something where she came into a very unstable household. She did her duty, like most of these wealthy families had expected for her to do, and she suffered through a very bad marriage at the hands of a very abusive husband. Upon his death, she was freed to return to her family, and she couldn't wait a minute to get out of there and leave Český Krumlov Castle behind her. Though she was free from this hellish marriage, she wore a very, slight smile on her face. All her subjects said that, you could tell that she was sad in the lines of her face. She wasn't as pretty as she once was because of the abuse. Uh-huh. But she did manage to smile, so people kind of respected her strength in that sense. She was kind. She was a very kind woman and offered care to the poor and helped the sick and everyone in need. But when she died at the age of 49, many wept for her memory. You would think that's where the story ends, close the book, she was a great lady, move on, right? Okay, that's not really the case because her ghost still lives on. Her ghostly figure, it was draped in this white gown, has been seen to this day in various castles throughout all of Bohemia that were once owned by the Rosenberg family. So there's the ghostly connection, that there must be some kind of connection to the Rosenbergs still with her and her problem that she had.
And what's the American one? Most Haunted, right?
Yeah, the TV show?
Or Ghost Hunters.
Ghost Hunters,
Ghost
right.
Hunters. They did an episode there. So I would recommend to go watch that for more of the kind of ghost story things.
And she's a kindly ghost, by the way, and she's out there to be very kind to anybody who comes across her. But it's one of those nice ghost tales that you hear from maybe your tour guides when you do take a tour of Český Krumlov.
All right, so to continue on with the history, we mentioned the Rosenbergs built it in the 13th century, and they built it kind of alongside the castle. So then in 1602, Rudolf II gave it to his son, like we mentioned. His name was Julius d'Austria. Then Emperor Ferdinand II gave it to the House of Edinburghs, so that's how they got it. And then from 1719 to 1945, the castle belonged to the House of Schwarzenbergs. And we've mentioned Schwarzenbergs tons of podcasts. He ran for president. You know,
one of the descendants of the absolutely.
Yeah, not the guy that bought it in 1719, but
he's long in age, but he's not that old.
Yeah,
yeah.
He falls asleep at meetings and stuff. The Schwarzenbergs had it until the end of World War II. Now, to kind of backtrack a little bit, in 1334, the king gave the Rosenbergs the go-ahead to settle Jews in the town. And so in 1336, they built a colony, kind of like a quarter of town, like a Jewish ghetto, in in Český Krumlov. And you mentioned that some of those castles kind of piecemeal, because from the 14th to 17th centuries, every family that owned it kind of built onto it. So it has, you know, Gothic parts, Renaissance parts, Baroque styles. And you'll see that. Like, the tower is one, like, Baroque, and then some of the buildings are Renaissance. And it's just all just added on there. I'll point out that Hostel was filmed there, the movie Hostel. And it takes place in Bratislava, but it was filmed there. So, like, you see the arches. There's one part where the cliff drops off, and then you take this bridge that goes to the gardens, and it has all these arches. And at one point in Hostel, the guy is, like, getting chased by the bad guy and, you know, the evil Slovaks or whatever, and he runs by these arches, and I'm like, that's not Bratislava.
I mean, no, and actually,
you can just tell.
We'll talk about it a little bit later on in the podcast tonight. Taking the tour of the castle, it's actually a covered walkway that connects... Yeah. That the kings basically wanted, in a sense, or the royalty at the time wanted, because they didn't want to walk outside in the cold weather. And they could basically have this elevated tunnel, if you will, to connect them to the gardens and to other parts of the premises from this steep incline that this castle is built upon. So when you do go inside this covered walkway, it is a kind of a slow gradation from the top of the gardens all the way down to the castle itself. So very interesting and a very neat castle in that sense. But Travis, you mentioned the ideas of the families that were involved with this. Can you tell us a little bit more about some of these families? We know a little bit about the Rosenbergs. They were financiers of many campaigns in Bohemia during many different reigns of the kings and emperors of Bohemia. But the Eckenbergs were unique in this sense. They weren't long-lasting. They were kind of a drop in the bucket, a quick cup of coffee, as far as the ruling of Český Krumlov. The families that ruled Český Krumlov more likely were the same ones that had such influence on ruling the entire length of Bohemia and Moravia, because of the money they had and the influence they had with the emperor or with the king.
So it kind of went along with some other tracts of land that were very prestigious, kind of.
Very much so. And I think that when you look at their influence, you can definitely feel the power that they once had by just looking at the sheer opulence of this castle.
Yeah.
And the town.
Well, like, Schwarzenberg, his palace is right next to the Prague Castle. Well, one of many is right next to the Prague Castle. So, I mean, clearly, yeah, someone that had a lot of money and influence.
Looking at the families, I think that you have to make a special note that these names are connected with the foundation of this town and how long this town acted as a seat of power. Travis, what are some other things that would draw people to Český Krumlov, just besides the touring of walking around the town?
Yeah, I mean, again, the town is gorgeous itself. I mean, you just go there and kind of hit like 20 cafes and, you know, just sit in the sun all day. I mean, that's one thing you could do. But the castle is really large for a town that size, at least the size the town was before, like, you know, the part inside the river bend, because it's a huge castle. I mean, the castle's like almost as big as the town. It's just ginormous. Yeah, it's the second biggest castle after Prague Castle. It's huge. And Prague Castle's the biggest in the world. So it's a huge castle. But then we mentioned that bridge, the little covered thing. And then there's that garden, which I don't think we really went into detail, but it's the beautiful Rococo garden, which was obviously neglected under the communists. So for some almost 50 years, you know, second half of the 20th century. But it's come back. It is gorgeous. It is beautiful. And it was included in the 96 World Monuments Watch by the World Monuments Fund. So it's, you know, it's got a huge fountain in the middle of it. It's, you know, it was all reconstructed the way it was supposed to be. Another thing that the garden has is two theaters. One of them is just an incredibly gorgeous Baroque theater. Is that the one that you saw?
That's the one I saw.
Yeah. So that was built in the 17th century from 1680 to 1682 under Prince Johann Christian I. So that was an Eckenberg.
That was an Eckenberg.
Right? Mm-hmm. And it was renovated with kind of modern, at the time, stage equipment under Josef Adam, who was a Schwarzenberg. Okay, and that was like a almost a century later, 1765, 66, something like that. And this is some of the oldest props and scenery that still exists. So from this 18th century stuff, that's still around. So it's very fragile. They only use it some three times a year, and only two of those are open to the public. But you can see real 18th century, you know, props, machinery, all those things, if you happen to catch one of the two a year, you know. And the whole thing is performed in kind of simulated candlelight, so you get a feeling of what it would have been back then. No light bulbs. Well, they're light bulbs, but they're simulated.
Maybe a similar experience when you go to England to see the Globe Theater, the reconstruction of Shakespeare's Globe Theater.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd imagine there's some similarities. Except to that concept.
Probably similar, but the props in this case are the original props.
The original
props,
ones, but, and that's why you have to go see this.
I bet it's a similar kind of feel to it, yeah. So the last private owner was Adolf Schwarzenberg, okay? And it was in this theater that President Edvard Beneš gave him a large contribution because of the defense of Czechoslovakia against the growing threat of Nazi Germany. So Beneš actually recognized Schwarzenberg's, in this theater, he recognized, gave him some recognition that Schwarzenbergs were fighting the Nazis. This is why Schwarzenbergs got some of their stuff back while Liechtensteins did not. So this property and all Schwarzenberg property was seized by the Gestapo in 1940 and then confiscated by the Czechoslovak government in 45. Not given back, taken, and then later the communists take it. But there's another theater that is just as cool in some ways, and it's outside, it's round, it's kind of open air. I think they can cover it somehow, but the whole thing revolves. So you're in the middle of this Rococo park, and the whole theater, seats, stages, everything, moves around to adjust for natural outdoor lighting so that the sun either isn't in the people's eyes or so you have better lighting on the stage, just depending on what's going on. I remember seeing this theater, and it's just round, and if there's not something playing there, you can just go buy ice cream there or whatever. Like, they just use it's kind of on this whole revolving platform. You can just buy drinks and ice cream or whatever. But yeah, it was really weird because you notice the whole platform, including the seats, are on this round thing. And I was kind of wondering about that until I read about this, that the whole thing turns.
Again, a recommendation is if you get a travel organization together, you can probably get the tickets ahead of time because they are hard to get if you just kind of stop on in. But some of the best festivals are known. One in particular is very well known throughout the Czech Republic. It's the Five-Petaled Rose Festival, which the name is derived from the Rosenberg crest of the five-petal red rose, which is celebrated the weekend of summer solstice in June. Then you also have the International Music Festival in Český Krumlov, which is one of the summer's most bigger cultural events. The festival begins in July and ends in August and features international music from varied musical genres, and including blues and classical, you name it. It's a wide variety. And then also I have to mention that there's something that's relatively new in the past few years that happens in mid-August, which is an area local disabled persons organization sponsor an all-accessible day for people with mobility and visual impairments, so they're able to kind of tackle this. Keep in mind, when you want to go to the castle, if you're bringing somebody in a wheelchair, or if you're just going to walk it yourself, you are really hoofing it up a mountain, which is very strange for most castles. Yeah. You'll have a pretty steep incline in Prague Castle here, but the incline in Český Krumlov is epic. I mean, you're just walking, and you're actually having to hold on to railings and rope so that you're leaning forward to climb these hills. People in San Francisco would be, oh, I'm back at home. I mean, it's that kind of idea of maybe going up Pacific Heights in San Fran, because you're really hoofing it up the hill. But it is well worth the effort on a hot day and during the summer to see this amazing city. If you really want to get more information, you might want to go down also to the main town square, where there is a very modern tourist office that will help you. People there are great with helping you trying to get where you need to be, and they're also stocked with 21st century modern conveniences such as computers. I used a few of those to figure out what I want to do for the course of the day, and you can buy tickets right there, so you don't have to wait in queue to talk to another living person. You can just do it on the run. There is that kind of blend of 21st century technology from this 14th century town that you can use to take a tour of the city. But remember, you probably can't do all of it in one day. So if you're inclined to put a little more structure in your visit to try to get as much out of it as you possibly can, you know, either go through a tourist organization that's going to set these things up, or you can personally go to the tourist office, get the information to structure your day there so you can get a lot done from boating down the Vltava and you know, taking a raft to do a tour that way, or having a tour of the castle. But Travis, I know some people would not rather have so much structure.
Yeah, otherwise you can do what I do, which is show up not knowing anything about the town whatsoever, go find a nice cafe by the river looking at the castle, drink Irish coffee or some such thing, and then wander like two houses down to the next place, enjoy a beer, and then wander. Eventually make your way up to the castle, and then those Rococo
gardens. In a drunken stupor by the time you get to the castle?
yeah, maybe. Kind of roll up
the hill. You can go alcohol-free, folks, if you want to. But it's let me tell you, the wine there is fantastic. Yeah. And the beers there is fantastic.
Well, that was the I went like my first week I was in Bohemia, so I had to try things like Becherovka and Slivovica. I had a lot of catching up to do, a lot of things I didn't know. A lot of booze to try. But it's just gorgeous. I mean, there's all kinds of places that are right on the river. I mean, the whole thing's surrounded. But a lot of those is facing the castle. I stayed on a place, I think I paid like 30 euros. And there's a tiny little island in the river, and it's facing the castle. So, because, you know, you cross a little tiny bridge, and then you're on a little island within the island. And, I mean, I think we paid 30 euros. They spoke German. Not English, I think, but out the window, I was looking at the castle, spent the night there, and then, you know, kind of, which this is great for a day trip. You don't need to spend the night.
Český Krumlov is a beautiful place. Be prepared in the summer to battle the tourists. You'll have a lot, you have many of them there as well. So if you can find a nice quiet place in one of the many parks there, you can kind of decompress a little bit before you get back to touring the town. So, you know, we want to thank you all for joining us on this special destination episode. We'll have several of these during the course of the year to give you an idea about what it's like to live in Czech Republic and actually go out exploring, which is one of my favorite hobbies besides living here, is exploring Czech Republic and Greater Moravia and seeing what this wonderful land has to offer. So we want to thank you all for joining us. We'll be back with you shortly in the next 2 weeks.
Thanks.
You have been listening to the Bohemican Podcast with Pete Coleman and Travis Doe. Visit bohemican.com for more information on this episode, other episodes, and much more information about history, traditions, and culture in the Czech Republic. Find us on iTunes, subscribe, and review, and don't forget to rate us. We would love to hear from you. Send comments, ideas, and corrections on our comments page on bohemican.com, or get in touch via Facebook or Twitter. Tune in to our sister podcast, History of Alchemy, which is also on iTunes, or on historyofalchemy.com. Until next time on the Bohemican Podcast, thank you for listening. Ahoj a naschledanou!
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.